Welcome, world, to a very special Squawker Talker Arsenal season preview podcast. I'm joined by three of the brightest minds in Arsenal media around the world. Mr. Nick English is joining us.
Hello.
Hello. Expert, of course, on all things
Arsenal. I can't believe you described me as one of the brightest minds in Arsenal media. I'm chuffed.
I've got to be the hype man for someone.
Yeah, thanks.
James Bench is here again.
Hello. Pleasure to be back. I'm hardly away anymore.
It's fantastic. It's almost a regular now. It's brilliant. And is this your Squawker Talker debut?
Hi, yes it is, and I'm really looking forward to it.
It's Hush Karai.
Thank you for having me.
No, hello. Thank you for coming on. So, I mean, it's Arsenal, it's Arsene Wenger, it's the Premier League. Some things in life are certain. You're born, you pay taxes, and then you die. And Arsene Wenger makes sure Arsenal get top four every single season. In the Frenchman's 20th year, could that record be at risk? That is ultimately the question we're asking today. I'm getting a lot of very dismissive looks in the podcast room. Pre-season, again, has been great for Arsenal. After a heavily depleted side, I should say, that's almost a Freudian slip, we're beaten 3-0 by Boreham Wood in their first pre-season game. The Gunners have run up an aggregate score of 17-5, beating MLS All-Stars, Chivas, Viking and Manchester City, and drawing 1-1 with Lons. I mean, what are the main talking points you've taken from pre-season so far, Nick?
Granit Xhaka is going to be exceptional this season. He's slotted right in. He didn't get a lot of rest after Euro 2016 with Switzerland. He, I think, left early, decided to join, took a shortened holiday, came straight to pre-season, looked absolutely fantastic. The other main talking point for me is Arsenal have a lot of wingers. I mean, a lot of wingers, and Wenger has been chopping and changing them in every single game, in every single position. Also, Wenger, I think, wants to try out some different stuff this season. He's played a lot of players in a lot of different positions. Santi Cazorla, who last season really established himself as in a holding midfield partnership alongside Francis Coquelin, was playing in the hole yesterday against Man City. Looked lovely at times.
That's what you want from Cazorla. That is lovely.
Yeah, you want something lovely. Also, Arsenal are lacking quality in defensive areas is probably the main talking point there.
We'll get onto some negatives now with Hush. Your debut is going to be after to slate Arsenal in pre-season.
Great.
What are the question marks that remain over the team from the performances in pre-season?
Well, the central striking role is still up for grabs. Yesterday, Sanchez played there with Cazorla and Ramsey switching in behind him. He was good, but it was the internal solution that Wenger's been talking about, but with Giroud not playing the first game, it's either going to be him or Walker. It's still up in the air, and by now we really should have nailed that down. The other sort of at the back, we don't know what's going on. Gabriel's picked up an injury late in the game yesterday. That leaves us with just Holding and Chambers going in the match against Liverpool, which at the moment that's leaving me sweating because I don't know. I don't know how it's going to play out. And it's a nervous time for an Arsenal fan at the moment. We're hoping, you know, Wenger does something to alleviate that in the next 6 days until the match. But I'm not going to hold my breath, to be honest with you.
Arsenal have got Liverpool in their first Premier League game, James. Having watched them in pre-season, which of the players that impressed you the most and have done enough, do you think, to play themselves into contention for the first team? Because there's still a lot of players that aren't quite back yet fully fit for the season.
Yeah, so Mesut Ozil, Lauren Koscielny, Olivier Giroud, Wenger keeps saying they're not going to be ready. I wouldn't rule out at least one or two of those players emerging from the bench. Mm. He did that last year with Alexis. It backfired spectacularly. Mm. But I mean, if there's one thing Arsene Wenger proves is he doesn't always learn very quickly from his mistakes. In terms of the players that have impressed me, we've heard a lot about Granit Xhaka. I know the fear is that without Gabriel, Mertesacker and Koscielny, the defence will struggle. But I think Rob Holding's been really, really excellent.
Is he redefining the holding role?
Oh, my God. How could you?
He is by not playing it. I think hopefully what he learned from that Man City game, which was a really enjoyable friendly last night, was just the cost of making a mistake against a really elite striker. He lost Sergio Aguero for 10 seconds. Sergio Aguero converted off a Raheem Sterling, an excellent Raheem Sterling cross. So I can understand why Holding didn't think there was much danger on. Finally, Chuba Akpom's impressed me, and actually don't rule out him starting on the opening day. You know, this is something that has kind of been filtering through the club. A lot of us on the Arsenal beat have heard that Wenger is not allowing Akpom to go out on loan. He'll definitely be on the bench for the opening day, I think. But it wouldn't shock me if he leads the line. He scored in every pre-season game he's played in. He looks bright, pacey. He actually looks like exactly what Arsenal want from a striker, just with no experience in the Premier League. So I've been really impressed by Akpom. I'd like to see him start the opening day.
Just to add to that, I think Elneny's impressed me a lot in pre-season. We got used to watching Coquelin being the defensive midfielder and sort of, you know, trying to put out fires, get all over the pitch. And then he sort of has his wits about him. He's not vacating that space in central midfield. And if Holding and Chambers are going to be the centre-back pairing, I'd be pretty confident if Xhaka and Elneny were sitting in front of them, sort of looking after the shop.
Prevention is better than the cure.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a problem Arsenal perennially had ever since kind of Mikel Arteta took over in that Holding role. And what's so impressive about Xhaka is he brings you that range of passing that Arteta has, and that kind of without Cazorla they really lack. But you get the sort of tough tackling. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. There's a really decent base. Yeah.
You could argue it's the most secure central midfield we've had since Vieira Gilberto. And we all know what happened when they played together. So,
Nick, you wrote the Arsenal pre-season preview article, looking at the tactic Arsene Wenger is going to be using this season. Granit Xhaka, compared to the marquee summer signings of seasons gone by, Ozil, Sanchez, Cech, how does he compare for you, do you think?
It's a very important signing for Wenger, and it shows what Wenger can do when he really sets his mind on a position. He looked at that midfield. He looked at what happened when Cazorla and Coquelin got injured last season, and the fact that we had to play Ramsey and Flamini for so many games. And he looked at that and he thought, cool, I'm never doing that again. So, and he's very slyly assembled an absolutely terrific midfield here. Mohamed Elneny is a brilliant addition to the side who they got last January. He's already proven himself. He's basically Mikel Arteta with a bit of extra zip, a bit of extra youth, recycles the ball endlessly, constantly dropping up between the centre-backs. And Xhaka is that elite central midfielder that Arsenal have been looking for so, so long. He attempted more long balls than any other Bundesliga midfielder last season, but he still managed to have an 85% pass accuracy and completed 70% of those passes were forward. Xhaka is fantastic on the ball, and he's not afraid to spray it forward. Mm. I mean, he is an elite central midfielder who's only going to get better. He's a huge addition to that side.
His display record as well, a bit more of a checkered pass, but maybe that aggression is also what you need in Arsenal's midfield.
Frankly, as an Arsenal fan, I don't care. the more the merrier. I mean, Patrick Vieira used to get suspended all the time because he did it at key moments. He made crunching tackles on counter-attacks. The other thing that Granit Xhaka brings from a defensive point of view is that he can block counter-attacks really, really effectively.
James, what do you think Granit Xhaka is going to bring to the team?
I mean, I really think Nick's onto a point here, and I just want to compare it to Tottenham, who, you know, let's be honest, were the better team than Arsenal last season, no matter what the table might say.
Oh.
And what Tottenham did that Arsenal haven't done since the days of Vieira is they had this brilliant, really enjoyable to watch Italian style cynicism to them. And I can't count the number of times that Dele Alli or Eric Lamella just made the most blatant yellow card tackle as the opponent was kind of looking to break away, and you know they could be in on goal. Lamella gets a booking, and I think that's what Xhaka brings. He's a bit dirty. I mean, he's a very clean cut, seems like a very nice boy. He's dirty, he might be a bit of a cheat, and he's still got all those Arsenal qualities. I mean, I've only seen bits and pieces from Euro 2016, and you don't want to read too much into friendlies, but he just looks like a really fun player to watch. I really like him. I think he's going to be a special player for Arsenal.
And Hutch, who do you think he's going to improve in the side with the players that are going to be now around him?
When Ozil arrived, we watched him build relationships with Ramsey and Giroud, and that's what I'm really looking forward to. I think he'll really improve Walcott, because when he was at Gladbach, he's prone to that switch, the diagonal ball to the right or left winger. And if Walcott and Sanchez and players like that sort of create a relationship with him, they get a bit of chemistry together, they can sort of understand when he's going to make his runs, when to pass it, when not to pass it. I think those are the sort of relationships that I'm looking forward to seeing develop in the early weeks of the season.
The only concern I've got with who he'll play with is it's really not quite clear yet how disciplined he'll be positionally. And that could have a big impact on Ramsey, who we know is best in that deep line too. But he's best in that deep line too when he knows that whoever he's with is going to sort of sit and allow him to bomb on. I mean, the problem with Mattia Flamini is half the time you'd look for him in the anchor role and he'd be playing centre forward. So, I think the issue that Wenger's got to solve is he's paid £35 million for Xhaka. He's got to start with him, so it's who fits best next to him. And that might vary game to game, based on the sort of quality of opposition, how much shielding the back four need.
Nick, on that point of the cost, has Wenger done enough in the market this summer?
No. It is quite clear that there's a lack of quality in defence. There is... I mean, there's only one experienced actual number nine at the club currently. No matter what you say about Arsenal's forward options, and no matter what your opinion is of Olivier Giroud, strikers need competition. Alex Ferguson used to have always four, you know, experienced goal-getting centre-forwards at his club. That was the foundation of what made United so lethal. We've only got one. And I like Chuba Akpon. I agree with James that he's been impressive in pre-season, but another striker is desperately needed as competition. The other thing that he might have wanted to do in the transfer market was get, actually, weirdly enough, another creative midfielder. Because you look at Ozil, Cazorla's now better in that deeper role. Alex Iwobi isn't really a natural number 10, even though we've been playing him there. There's rumours about Rene Adelaide playing there. Ramsey likes to play there, but is he, you know, is he jinky and technical enough on the edge of the penalty area? Wilshere could play there. So there's probably like another gap there for another creative midfielder since we lost Thomas Rosicky.
Let's just go back to that striker thing. I want to come out in Wenger's defence because it's getting a bit tough on him, this demand that you buy a striker, just any striker, buy Lacazette. Well, you're entitled to look at Lacazette's returns in the Champions League and the Europa League in particular. They're not very good. And the reality is you're being asked to commit £40 million to that, and that in and of itself is quite concerning. But go and buy Lacazette, go and buy Icardi, or even go and buy Jamie Vardy actually back at the time. And that's it, you're done. If any better opportunity becomes available, that's not an option open to you. There's loads of bizarre statements going around on Arsenal Twitter.
Hashtag madness.
Hashtag madness.
Hashtag madness
is out of the window if you buy hashtag Lacazette. And I think Wenger is just waiting. He knows that he needs to buy a striker, and he made the same mistake last year. He went for Benzema. He went for madness early on. I think he will get that striker. He's just waiting to make sure he makes the right call. He doesn't spend £40 million on Lacazette and Griezmann becomes available a month later.
Just yet another angle on all things Wenger and transfer market related. Earlier I spoke to Arsenal fan blogger Le Gros for his thoughts on the season, Wenger, and basically where the club are going.
I think Arsenal fans are in panic mode at the moment. I think that everyone thought that Arsene Wenger kind of going into the last year of his contract was going to go big this summer. I think that we've had like 5 years of does he have money, doesn't he have money? But this year the stars aligned, big sponsorship deals, new TV money, kind of a close-ish season last year. And I think we thought he was going to go out and do all the things that he needed to do. But once again, we're a few days away from the start of the season. We're like two centre-backs down. We still don't have a striker. We've missed out on players because they've wanted to stay at their own clubs or they've gone to other clubs that can apparently pay more wages than us. So I think there's a bit of panic starting to set in that it's just going to be more of the same this season.
And what are your thoughts on the Granit Xhaka transfer? Because obviously that's a position that fans have often kind of shouted at wanting a signing to kind of add a bit more depth there.
It's a welcome addition. It's a welcome addition, but it's kind of it's one of those signings that the Arsenal fans have been calling for years. I mean, it was only by accident that we sort of stumbled into a defensive midfielder with Coquelin, and I think a lot of Arsenal fans last year were saying that he's not particularly good at transitioning the ball. He does a job of getting in the way, but I think Xhaka is the right player, like fantastic passer, brilliant work engine, and he's self-confessed leader as well, which is going to be good. So you can see that the midfield shaping up. Like Elneny's looked great in pre-season, so we've got like a very solid core there, but we're still struggling with the same issue. Like you can have the best midfield in the world, but if you've got Olivier Giroud finishing up the passes, you're probably gonna struggle exactly the same as we did last year. So a nice improvement, and again another early improvement, like we did last year with Petr Cech and then didn't build on it, and then like we did the season before with Alexis Sanchez and we didn't build on it. And like I don't think Arsenal fans can really understand Arsene Wenger and his mentality, that he wouldn't do everything he could to make sure he had the best possible squad going into the season. And I think part of it is an accountability issue. I think part of it is perhaps he's not managing in the right era. He doesn't have contacts with the super agents. And I think like the part of Alan Kerb's book he's speaking in, where he said, you know, you've got to treat the club's money like your own, and that's like a very noble mentality, but like you've also got to compete with other clubs, and you've got to like shift your view of what value is in the face of like the variables that have changed over the last few years. So I kind of feel like he's a bit of an old school manager stuck in modern times, and we're suffering for it, and we get away with it every year, but like I don't think it's a good position for fans to be in, where like we're just hoping that we'll scrape top four this year and maybe a quarterfinals in the Champions League. It's like, when are we going to get a season where we're like, you know what, we're set on players. Like, I feel like we've got a good system, we've got a good backup system, and like I feel like everything's in place for us to really like go for it. We're not there again.
And does that mean you're Wenger out, or where do you think fans are? Is the this kind of Arsenal civil war we keep hearing about brewing over whether Wenger should stay or go? Where are heads at? I mean, he's going to be celebrating his 20th anniversary as manager this year.
I don't know. Our Arsenal fans get the manager they deserve. I think we're a fan base that doesn't really like conflict. We're very into the comfort value of Arsene Wenger. Like Arsene Wenger deserved to be fired last year. Arsene Wenger deserved to be fired for the summer he pulled last season, and he certainly doesn't deserve a new contract. But you know, come the end of the season, when there's this fan protest, everybody's singing his name, and everyone's like, "Well, you know, let's give him his last year." And it's shock horror, more of the same, and it'll be more of the same this season, I'd say. And I think that Arsene Wenger does a very good job of making sure that fans always think that he's two players away from dominating. And like the realities are that it's not even a player thing with Arsene Wenger anymore. And I think that will probably get highlighted this season. Like it's a manager thing. Arsene Wenger plays one way. He plays the same formation every week. He comes up against the same issues every season. He makes the same mistakes in the transfer market every season. I don't think he's a particularly good motivator of players. But he won us three Premier Leagues. We've had so many good times under him. And I still think that there's a real struggle for fans in the stadium to understand that actually I don't think he's particularly competent anymore as a top flight manager. Like, he's a good manager, he'll get you across the finishing line, but he's not gonna elevate the club to the next level. And it's been time for a change for years, and I just hope that we don't get through to October winning six or seven games on the bounce, and then he signs a new two-year deal, because I think that realistically, like looking at these comments in the press, that's probably what he's angling for.
So that would be the worst case scenario for you to some extent. But what would constitute a successful season in your eyes then?
I mean, we should be pushing to win the Premier League. I mean, we're a stable team. We haven't sold anyone major in a few years. We don't have any players pushing for the exit door. Our backroom staff has stayed pretty much the same. Like, we should be pushing all the way this season. But I think, like looking at the competition we've got in the league this year, looking at the massive uptick of talent from a managerial perspective that's come into the league. I mean, if we make top three this year, that will constitute a success. But it's like lowering expectations based on your manager. Like we should be winning the league this year, like, and we should be making the semi-finals of the Champions League. And it's kind of shambolic that most Arsenal fans are like, there's no chance of that happening. Like it's just another season, mailing it in, getting top four, being hopeful about what happens the year after. So, you know, maybe an FA Cup would be nice, but I don't really hold out much hope in a league that's got Klopp, Guardiola, Mourinho, Conte, Pochettino. I'm not really holding up much hope that we're going to do anything of interest this season.
Would you think that top four, I mean, he's never failed to get top four, hasn't Arsene Wenger? Do you think that's at risk this season?
I don't know. I was watching United at the weekend. They looked really bland. I think Leicester are probably going to have a very difficult defence of their league title this year with Champions League. I think my concern is that with United they don't have any Champions League. It's the same with Liverpool and Chelsea, and I think that. That's proven over the last few years to be like a massive, massive benefit to the teams below because they don't have to worry about the midweek game. They have the additional time to prepare. They have the additional rest. So I think we've got a pretty good starting 11, but it's when players start dropping out of that and the injuries start building up. Like, how are we going to manage that? And again, you know, like we're pinning our season on Olivier Giroud, who went 17 Premiership games without scoring a goal last year. And it's like, you know, what happens if he gets injured? We don't have anything in backup. So I think it would depend. On who we, like, if we do make any signings in the next 2 weeks, like, I'd have a surer idea.
That was Le Grove, speaking of all things Wenger, transfers and where the fan expectations are at the moment. Just going back to the defence a second, we talked about the attack. Mertesacker is out for the start of the season. Gabriel is, pretty much looks, he's out for...
He's dead.
He's out for much longer than that. There's still a few weeks left of the transfer window. Do Arsenal need to sign more than one centre-back? James, what do you reckon?
Well, they've already inquired with Shkodran, I think that's how you pronounce it, Shkodran, Mustafi's agent at Valencia.
Yeah, well, well done.
They've already spoken to his agent. You know, there's reports floating around that Valencia might be open to selling him for around 30 million euros, which seems a good deal. So again, yeah, they're in the market for someone. I think one defender would probably just about do it. There's plenty of options that can cover. Rob Holding's looked great in pre-season. Chambers will do you a job. Bielik, even Francis Coquelin is training at centre back. The options are endless.
Fair enough. Nick, one place where there aren't need for options is a very clear two first team starters there. Is it fullback? You've got Monreal and you've got Bellerin. That's two parts of the defence that maybe Wenger doesn't need to worry about, or does he?
Arsenal didn't win any of the seven games that either of Nacho Monreal or Hector Bellerin missed last season in the Champions League and the Premier League. They balance each other perfectly. Monreal works especially well alongside Koscielny. When Mertesacker's playing alongside Bellerin, it allows Mertesacker to explore his full range of passing because he gets an option over the top and he can also play into the midfield. They're absolutely fantastic, those two fullbacks, and rightly were, you know, sort of called the best two fullbacks in the league last season. The problem is behind them. Our left back, you've got Kieran Gibbs, who likes to venture further forward. That's fine. And on the other side, if you play them both at the same time, is Maciej Debuszy, who plays at right back. The problem is that Hector Bellerin has retired Maciej Debuszy effectively, and Debuszy hasn't taken it that well. Arsenal have been trying to farm out Maciej Debuszy pretty much all summer, and nobody's taking him. Even Ligue 1 sides, where he comes from, he's French, he's a French international. They love him over there. They're not even touching him. Mm-hmm. Debuchy has nosedived absolutely spectacularly. And the only other right-back, established right-back that Arsenal have got the club, is Carl Jenkinson, who's a bit of a fan favourite, and he puts a job in for you. He's quite tall, wins a lot in the air, but he's injured. So, I can't believe there's no right-back. There seems to be such a huge issue. What if Hector Bellerin has a poor run of form? He's still young, it can happen. What if he gets an injury? We're really relying on Mathieu Debuchy to sort of, you know, propel us to a Premier League title. It's an absurd situation to be in.
Mm. And you might even need a Monreal in the middle if you have another injury crisis.
Monreal's he's the most underrated player in the Premier League, I'm convinced of it. He created more chances than Hector Bellerin last season, just so you get an idea of how good his crossing in and his pullbacks are. Both of them constantly have an 86% or 85% pass accuracy. They're elite players, there's no doubt about it.
Mm. Well, if there is problems at defence, even with through injury or issues at the back, Arsenal going to have to outscore their opponents, aren't they, really? That's going to have to be one way of getting around any defensive frailties. Giroud remains first choice, but do you think he's good enough for what Arsenal needs?
Giroud is the question that no one can answer. I don't have an answer. The first part of last season, he was incredible. Him and Ozil were on fire. We were sort of washing away everyone in front.
All defenders were terrified.
I'm not going to sing it, but yeah, we were putting teams away. After we beat Man City, where Giroud scored at the Emirates, everything looked great. And then he scored twice against Liverpool at Anfield, and then went on an unexplainable drought. He just could not hit a barn door for the best part of 3 months. Mm. And he's that sort of player. He's a streaky player. He goes through purple patches and then just loses his confidence and his touch, and we can't rely on him to deliver us a league title. He needs support. Theo Walcott is not that man. I know he scored a great goal against Man City on Sunday night, but you can't rely on him. He's been at the Arsenal for 10 years now, and he's still playing on the right, playing up front, so he's not the man. Chuba Akpom scored in all four of Arsenal's preseason games, which is encouraging, but I can't envisage Wenger starting him against Liverpool or exactly. I don't think he's up to the pressure. He didn't even really force his way into the Hull City team that got promoted last season while he was on loan there.
And he wasn't a main striker; he was more of a support back.
Exactly, yeah. So I think he'll be in the squad and he might get a few minutes here and there. But yeah, there's a massive gap, and I think the experiment with Sanchez for 45 minutes or so on Sunday night against Man City was quite promising, and I think he's got a big chance of actually starting up front.
Well, James, I was going to say, if there is a big gap to fill, surely Alexis Sanchez is the man to fill it. I mean, Arsenal fans often talk about him being up there as maybe up there with the third best players in the world. Like, he's your Hazard, he's your Neymar, he's this guy. But he doesn't really get the goal returns that maybe we expect of players of that ilk if we're talking about people to challenge Messi and Ronaldo or something. I know this is fanciful talk, but this is how football fans kind of encapsulate things these days. So what can Arsenal do to get more goals out of Sanchez and really make sure he plays to that level that you expect of a player of his reputation?
Well, certainly the one thing they need to change from last season is they need to fix his mood. He was in a thunderous mood at the end of last season. He did not want to be... If not want to be at Arsenal, he certainly didn't want to be at Arsenal at the end of the game. I think it was possibly the West Brom game, but certainly one of the games at the back end of the season. He was taken off just before the end and marched straight out of the Emirates, prompting all this transfer speculation over Juventus. I can't see him leading the line. I don't think he's got the sort of physicality or the link up play. And ultimately, he's the one you want playing off the striker, making the most of the opportunity Giroud creates, or whoever Giroud's replacement is. Maybe back to the left. That's really where he enjoyed his greatest success last season. I'm still very confident that he can prove himself to be in that class below Messi, Neymar, Ronaldo, and Suarez this year, because, you know, ultimately, he had a really horrible season last season with injury. Wenger rushed him back, and, you know, it kind of told him the goal returns, which were a bit patchy.
Mm. Nick, one thing that's been coming out of the Euro 2016 tournament with Giroud is the idea of potentially playing a 4-4-2. I mean, Griezmann looked very good coming off the target man. Maybe is that a way of getting the best out of Sanchez in a different setup?
Potentially. I mean, you know, Wenger's been playing the same formation for almost 10 years now, so the fact that he can now play more formations and he has different options doesn't mean he's gonna.
Yeah.
Theo Walcott off of Olly Giroud does make a lot of sense in a 4-4-2, you know, the pace and, you know, the fact that Giroud could win a header off the Eiffel Tower is quite an impressive skill. I think Giroud, much like James defended Wenger earlier, it's important to defend Olly Giroud. I think because of the standards set by Thierry Henry, he has such an unfair benchmark to play against. A striker like that, a hold-up man, they're not judged solely for the goals that they score. And I think the best person to compare Olly Giroud to over the past 10 years in the Premier League era is Didier Drogba, the other proper hold-up man who played on his own up front. Olly Giroud has a better goals-per-game ratio in the Premier League than Didier Drogba. The main difference between the two is that Drogba had two elite seasons, 30-plus goal seasons. That is why Didier Drogba is considered a Premier League legend and Olly Giroud is considered a Premier League failure as of now. Olly Giroud is approaching his peak. He's 29 now. If he can have an elite season, the whole narrative around him is massively going to change. He was good at the Euros. He needs to perform, and that's down to him.
Of course, do you think that's a bit of a simplification? I mean, Drogba was Mr. Wembley. He was always there on the big occasions, scoring the big goals. Giroud has missed some big sitters in recent years.
But in the same way, Drogba used to sort of work well with Lampard and set him up a few times. But I think Giroud's link-up play is a lot better than Drogba at Chelsea. His vision and his creativity in and around the box, his ability to read his teammates' runs is really underrated. It's almost as effective as Mesut Ozil in that sort of flicking on position. He really works for the rest of the players and they must enjoy playing with him, apart from maybe Ozil, who doesn't finish off his chances. But yeah, he works for the team. But it's just like you said, it's the clutch moments, the big chances. It's the Monaco match 2 seasons ago in the Champions League that I always revert to. He missed some really, really easy chances in that match, which it did come down to bottle, and that's not his forte. Is not scoring match-winning goals and sort of making the difference in that sort of way. If he can have an elite season like Nick alluded to, then we'll all change our minds, but, you know, it remains to be seen.
Is the best we can expect from Giroud to be a flat-track bully, James?
Well, I think that's a little bit unfair, at least on the basis of last season, because, I mean, people tend to forget he scored the opener against Bayern Munich, he scored against Man City. So in the first half of last season, he did look like that player. The problem is, and going back to Drogba, there was always someone at Chelsea to relieve Drogba, to give Drogba a break. And, you know, there just wasn't at Arsenal. And actually, when Danny Welbeck came back into the team, Giroud kind of upped his game a little bit, and by the end of the season was back to flat-track bullying Aston Villa, and there was no flatter track than Aston Villa.
Edgbaston.
Absolutely. I think the one thing to bear in mind is there's this huge faith in Arsenal in Giroud. Wenger has referred to him as one of Europe's best strikers, and he didn't even say that tongue-in-cheek. And also, I think he's very popular around the dressing room. He does have a good relationship with Mesut Ozil. I still think that there'll be a lot of faith in him now that the likes of Vardy have gone, Higuain's gone. He's probably going to be the first choice striker this season.
Just very quickly, I think Arsenal aren't going to be able to sign a striker who will get 10 to 15 goals a season more than Olivier Giroud does. That's looking impossible in this market. Don't fancy him. But what they can do is they can set up a system or find the right player to add 10 to 15 goals on the other side to Olivier Giroud on his right side, which is what Sanchez does on the left side.
Critics do say that. Wenger says that every year, yeah. I should say. I mean, every year we're told Oxlade-Chamberlain, Cazorla, Ramsey, Wilshere will all get half a dozen to 10 goals.
Yeah. And they don't.
Mm-hmm. Well, just on that point, if Giroud does have this elite season, and maybe they do find the missing goals on the right flank, and I don't know, maybe if Arsenal go on and have some wondrous season, actually winning things beyond the FA Cup, will this be 20 seasons and out for Wenger? This is the final year of his current contract. Will he go out on a high, or do you think we could be seeing his reign come to a crushing end, maybe?
I mean, he's some distance away from making up his mind. At least according to him, I mean, there were the reports in the Times at the end of last season saying that the contract was on his desk waiting to be signed, and that he was very forceful in batting those away. We know that if he does well, if he proves himself, Arsenal will offer him a new deal. I tend to think if he does really well and wins the league or the Champions League, surely that would be the right time to quit. Mm. You almost wonder if he regrets not quitting after the first FA Cup.
Do you think he knows how to quit? I know that sounds daft, but do you think he's so wedded to Arsenal as a club? Does he have a stop button?
I can't imagine him doing anything other than football. I mean, he was offered, if not a quit, a kind of nice semi-retirement with England. They were very keen to get him to do that. I mean, come on, anyone wouldn't be. No one would be stupid.
Even Big Sam.
No one would be stupid enough to say the England job. I think that might have encouraged Wenger to think, well, maybe I do want another couple of years at this, because he's been offered the chance of a semi-retirement with international football. He said, no thanks. So I suspect he's leaning towards giving it another go, unless he wins the league, the double, or the Champions League.
I mean, where can he take the team next if he does stay, Josh?
Well, if he does stay, it's marginal. We were, we were 10 points behind Leicester last season, but we sort of faded away at the end. We weren't that far away from the league title that we've been craving for the decade now. With Wenger, I really think it's the main factor, or one of the main factors, is he will find his own replacement. I think he will, once he finds someone he thinks is suitable enough to carry on his legacy and not sort of rip it up and start again, then he would slowly maybe step away. But until he's found that one person that will sort of succeed him and he's given them the blessing to, I can't see him walking away and letting the board or letting whoever else decide that for him, or for Arsenal rather.
Given what happened at Man United with Alex Ferguson picking his successor, I mean, he is the closest kind of comparison to what's going to happen at Arsenal once Wenger's gone. Are there any fears what might happen there if Wenger is allowed to pick his successor and kind of control from the backseat in some ways?
Well, the good news for Arsenal fans in that respect, there's no one really cut from the same cloth as Wenger, so there won't be that sort of emotive mistake, which is, I think, what Fergie did. He made a very emotional decision.
Saying Remy Gard's not going to be taken over.
That's pretty much what I'm saying. And that's still pretty different cloth. I think you can still see now, if we're talking about Wenger moving on, right, he still looks like he's planning his team long term. I mean, essentially, there's a part of Wenger will be more grateful for what he's done over the past 12 years since we've left Highbury after he's gone, because the club is in outstanding financial shape, realistically. Okay, we might not, we've got very wealthy owners, we might not like them, they're not going to let the club go bust. They've got a very good track record of, A, yes, obviously extracting money from clubs, which might not be happy about, but also not letting clubs go bust and not letting things go to pot. He set the bar very, very high. I mean, I don't think Arsenal fans realise how impossible the job he has done over the past 12 years has been. Okay, he might have delivered more success, and with a couple of key additions or a bit more money spent, he might have done that. But it still feels like he's planning long term. So does he want to stay, or does he just want to, he just doesn't want to be the hero. He just wants to hand over to whoever it might be so they can go, okay, here's £80 million I'm going to spend in transfer window. I'm going to be the hero.
Just go a bit left field, James. All this money that Arsenal fans are saying, where's it going to sign these super strikers and all that? Is there any chance that Wenger's ploughing money into research into AI and cybernetic research so that he can become like a constant immortal god at the Emirates to run the club forever?
Well, I mean, if he is, happily, last year he had the ideal business partner in place with Mathieu Flamini.
Oh, yeah.
Shout. Shout.
What is the fuel source?
And he's released him.
No wonder Mathieu Flamini's gone. He doesn't have time for such meagre matters as football.
Or haven't they released him into the labs underneath the Emirates pitch to keep the work going?
That's why it was almost delayed. Well, this took some £500 million.
So I'm guessing 500 years watch his space.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Just to finish the pod off, expectations. It's a pre-season preview. I mean, you've got to do them. Nick, I'm going to come to you first. What are you expecting from Arsenal this season? And what we've heard from Le Gros, but what do you think will constitute success?
I think success will constitute given. Last season, what would have constituted success was winning the Premier League, given how weak the Premier League was last season. This season, you look at it and you think, wow, City and United have gone big.
And
Liverpool have gone big.
Chelsea.
Yeah, and Chelsea have gone big as well. So,
what did the Romans ever do?
Yeah, and Spurs have been really, really solid in pre-season. They look excellent at times. So I think for Wenger, I think a domestic cup, a Premier League would be an outstanding achievement given what the other teams have spent, some of the big teams have spent. But in terms of realistic expectations, top four, a decent cup run, and a lot of angry Arsenal fans on Twitter.
What do you reckon, James?
I think they've got to win top three rather than top four. I think avoiding the dreaded playoff trap, which is getting tougher by the year, is really worth doing. But I think there's going to be a lot of focus on Europe when the title race inevitably falls apart by November this time, I suspect, because Man United and Man City are looking so good. It'll be a chance to really give the Champions League a go. The last sort of years that they were really out of the title race early on, they were pushing hard in Europe. So I suspect they'll finish third. They'll do quite poorly in the domestic cups, although Wenger does love an FA Cup. But this time round, maybe, just maybe, they might get beyond the round of 16 in the Champions League.
Just maybe.
He's done quite me on the glory years.
What do you reckon?
I think a quarter-final Champions League spot would be nice after having, what, 4 or 5 years of getting knocked out.
I can't believe you've just said that.
It would be.
I mean, honestly, mate.
I'm expecting us to get...
Champions League quarter final would be nice. Great.
It would be nice because we've had really, really tough last 16 draws for the last 5 or 6 years after having easy groups and finishing second somehow.
What about Monaco?
Let's not go there. I can't go there. Not now.
I'll stop interrupting.
Success would be beating Monaco and beating them this
year. Yes. Success would be getting to the sort of the meat and, you know, the main part of the Champions League. And I think finishing third, I think Chelsea, United and City are stronger than us. I can say it. But I think dislodging one of them and finishing third would be success. I cannot see us winning the title this year. Maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, before all the big signings were made by our rivals, but since then they've strengthened and we haven't. So I can't really expect anything more than that, to be honest.
Because we try to be good hosts here, James, you've come in from Standard Sport to join us today. You can have the last word if you like.
Thank you very much. What I would just say to those Arsenal fans that maybe feel we're being a bit pessimistic is there is reason to believe the title can be won. Because these three big super clubs, the Manchester teams and Chelsea, new managers, a lot of new players, a lot of new systems. If Arsenal can hit the ground running, if they can beat Liverpool on the opening day and really kind of build a sense of momentum, build an advantage, I actually do think they can win the title. I think it's a long shot, but good start, and you never know.
New managers, new systems. Is that the one thing that Arsenal aren't going to give you this season? Is those two things.
100%.
So on that note, thank you for joining us today for the Arsenal pre-season season preview podcast. Nick, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
It has been fantastic. James, thank you for coming in from the Standard to join us again.
Lots of great.
And Hutch, great debut.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
You can find much more Arsenal content and coverage and analysis. We've even got a Tuba Apple interview, haven't we, on the site?
We do, yes.
Potentially the big star of the start of the season for Arsenal. So get on Squawker.com, check it out, follow us on Twitter @Squawker, and we're on all other sorts of social media channels. And, of course, the podcast will be back again soon. Thanks for joining us. See you. Bye.